Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ramona Shelburne here of ESPN on 95.7 The Game. Ramona, thank you for joining us. And I tell you, I feel like everyone in the NBA media should at the very least put one muffin in the Draymond Green muffin basket we all owe him for making our work day much easier this afternoon, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. I was sitting there when your producer texted me, and I was like, oh, you got a whole show. What do you need? I mean, you just play that Draymond clip over and over. And it was unprompted, too. He just went there, huh?
Yeah, there's nothing better for tomorrow's work day than Draymond saying, I just got to get something off my chest.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a few veteran players that I've known like that before. Kobe used to do stuff like that. I could see, you know, like there's only a few people who have the gravitas to do that too. Like LeBron could do it. I think Chris Paul could, but not many people. I don't think most people want to step out of their lane. Like, you know, they always say like, don't get involved in somebody else's fight. Right. Like, so like another, like most players don't really want to take the shot for somebody they're not, that's not them, right? Or on their team or something, right? Like, what does Draymond, you know, he doesn't have anything to do with Andre Drummond or the Cavs, right? It was just something he was thinking about. And I give him a lot of credit for kind of just stepping right in there. He sees it. It's something that's been on his mind. He sees it. You know, I see it all the time. And I wish more players would do that, because privately, like when I talk to players, they say this all the time. This is what they think. This is what they feel. But nobody really wants to put their name on it, and they don't want to stick their neck out, because I have that same feeling all the time when I do, you know, I was going to, you know, you tweet something. I used to go like more on like Twitter rants, like I would have like an issue and I would weigh in, and I'd have like four tweets in a row about it or something. Right. And I don't know. I didn't think it through all that much. And, you know, sometimes you get people, it's just you're sparking a conversation, or you're involving yourself in a conversation, and then just like, I don't know, social media is such a cesspool that I just stopped doing it after a while, because nobody reads your tweets in context. Nobody processes what you're really trying to say. Twitter's not the right medium for that. You know, I'd rather call into your radio show and talk about it, or you know what I mean. It's just, and even then, if I get aggregated, it's not going to be a full context. You know, there's just much more to lose than to gain by wading into something like that. So, you know, there's only a few guys who have the guts to do it. I'm glad he said it. I'm glad he got people talking about it, because it gets you to understand how players think and feel. And maybe, you know, the NBA looks at it and says, what can we do to stop that? Because, you know, look, they have very strong anti-tanking rules. Like, I remember, you know, there's a few years ago, before they put the new lottery rules in, guys, they would have, when a team was like, sitting veterans or sitting good players, and they were so obviously tanking and just playing the young guys, you know, a lot of times they'd like invent an injury or load management or whatever. And the league would kind of step in and say like, hey, come on, are they really injured? Are you just tanking? And it was, you know, not exactly like enforced, but you at least had to like talk to the league about it. You had to have a conversation and theoretically justify why this guy wasn't playing. Okay. They do that for tanking, but this is a form of that in a way, right? Sitting a guy so that you can trade him. It's you're not doing it overtly because you're tanking on purpose or whatever. You're doing it because you don't want the guy to get hurt before he gets traded. But it's kind of just one step removed from it. And I think it's, you know, something that the league should look at and something that players should look at. And maybe there is something that we can do, or maybe it's just us in the media and how we talk about it.
But is it really one step removed? I mean, because the one thing,
yeah.
I mean, the one thing that you know jumps out at me is that this is a function of the way teams do business, and the league is made up of those teams and the managements of those teams.
Right.
So the idea that the league comes down on tanking seems to me, I mean, sort of disingenuous because they don't. I mean, they lionized it in Philadelphia. I mean, they don't mind it going on at a bunch of other places. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that there are, and Draymond Green is saying this, there are different rules for different schools. And
That's
the school
true.
That, you know, he plays for is the one that mm-hmm. gets the short end of the wedge every time.
Well, he plays for the Warriors. I mean, they have a bright spotlight on them. And in Cleveland, they don't have as bright a spotlight on them day to day, at least nationally. I think locally they probably do. But you know, Draymond's right in that sense that, like, you know, he's going to get fined for certain things. But you're right. It's not really enforced. The difference is the way they hold you, it's like tampering. You know, they fine. I forget the latest one. It was like somebody made a comment. Oh, Daryl Morey's tweet, like, where he was like, it's the anniversary of James Harden setting the assist record for the Rockets, and they find him, right? And it was like, okay, did he get fined for that, or did he get fined because Rockets weren't happy about the way that Daryl Morey left, and rather than do a full-fledged investigation where we go and check his cell phone records of when did he start talking to the Sixers or whatever, right? Rather than do that, we'll slap him on the wrist for this tweet. You know, I mean, that's probably how the world is governed in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying that's what happened with the league. Okay. Please don't aggregate me that way, but that's how I read it. Okay. You know, I read it as, okay, that was that topic was very sensitive. So anything Daryl did in that area and he's probably right to get fined because the way he left was not great. You know, if I'm Houston, I understand. I'd be mad, right? He left just to spend time with his family, and a week later he's the GM of the Sixers, okay? You know?
Hold on. Are you right? Suggesting he didn't actually want to spend time with his family?
He probably spent a lot of time that week, yeah. No, I think he wants to spend time with his family. Okay, but I think he was just out there. I think the Rockets were in a place like the Rockets were – he's not the only one. Westbrook wanted out. Harden wanted out. Morey wanted out. Mike D'Antoni wanted out.
Well, he did want to spend more time with his family because somebody had to help him pack.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great
point,
right?
I actually know his wife. He loves his wife. She's really cool. And his kids. I mean, he does, you know, I think that's part of it. But, like, you know, we always give that excuse. And I think that, like, look, this is the way of the world. And I thought about this a lot with Draymond because I've been in the industry a while. You guys have too, right? You've seen friends and colleagues get fired and laid off and all that. And, you know, the most you can hope for when you get laid off is like that you get a lot of severance and then that they don't make it so you can't work for 2 years or something. Right. Like that's the worst is when you're just, you know, on the island. And, you know, people, when they get laid off and let's say there's 2 years left on your deal and they pay you out and people go, what's the big deal? You're still getting paid. I mean, that's kind of what's happening to Andre Drummond, right? You know,
yeah.
you're still getting paid.
Right, that brings me to what I want to ask, because the most interesting part of this to me is, and really has always been, the other side of it, the wide-ranging perception from media and fans about sort of who's in the right and who's in the wrong, and this propensity that the masses seem to have to choose to identify with the faceless corporate entity as opposed to the human being.
I agree
What's
with
the
you.
Fix for that?
What is that? I know. I think that's really at the core of it, isn't it? You said it right earlier. You've been a fan of the Cavs longer than Andre Drummond. I think there's always a function of it that is, you know, in a when we talk about it with labor issues, it's like millionaires versus billionaires, right? So nobody really identifies with either, okay? But there's something like fans, for some reason, can identify more with players who are like they're employees. And most fans are employees, okay? Most fans have jobs, and they go to the job, and they are subject to the whims of their employers. Maybe they get laid off too, or maybe they get fired, or they sign a contract. You know, whatever your employment situation is. So I think maybe it's because they're the because they have a face, because they have a name, because they have a reputation. Like, all we do in the NBA, it's like a big soap opera. We talk about players, right? We talk about, you know, we talk about personalities and drama and conflict. I mean, it's like, you know, that's why the NBA is so popular these days, I think. And rumors, innuendo, right? It's much more so than I think in other sports.
We love selling, you know, lunch table gossip as much as we do the actual sandwich at the lunch table. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. This all starts with Drummond and, to an extent, Blake Griffin being shelved to be traded 6-7 weeks from now. I mean, is this a new normal in any way, shape, or form unique to these players and their contractual situations, or are we going to see in the coming years and in the coming weeks other players added to the, hey, if he doesn't play for a month and a half, we're cool with it because he's an asset, we don't want him hurt?
Yeah, I think this might be a new normal, especially for guys who are making a lot of money. And, you know, right now nobody wants to take on big contracts. There's just nobody's making money this year. They're losing money. And some franchises are really losing a lot of money. I mean, I hear every day about cash calls with minority investors. And, you know, I mean, nobody wants to feel sorry for billionaires. Okay, I understand. They own the team, and that's pocket change for them. And, you know, if you read all the stats, most billionaires have actually made money in the pandemic. Okay, so let's put that aside. But right now, a lot of teams don't have that same willingness to, like, oh, let's just take on that $39 million. I mean, I still go back to the Warriors taking on Kelly Oubre's salary. I mean, that's unbelievable how much money they're paying for him. Not just for him, but for the luxury taxes that accompany it. Okay, in a year where they're losing gobs of money by not having fans at Chase Center, and you know, they still get their TV money or something, but that's just national TV money. That Chase Center is literally an ATM. It is the most profitable center in the country. And then, you know, Joe Lacob went to, like, great lengths to come up with a plan to test everyone and was willing to spend $30 million because it literally pays for itself if you do it, right? Now, nobody's approved that during the surge. And I actually think we might be getting close to the point where we can revisit that topic. Starting to see some arenas and some states revisit the idea of, like, a limited number of fans. So my prediction, this is just a prediction, within the next month, I think we'll probably see some of that here in California, in some capacity, whether it's 1,000 fans or, you know, whatever. But anyway, the war, like, I think when we get down to it, guys, like, this is, I think fans identify more with players because they are people and they connect with them. They're attached to them. Whereas, like, the team, the ownership is usually pretty faceless. Like, most Warrior fans know who their owners are, okay? But, you know, you don't read about Joe Lacob as much as you do about, you know, let's pick a random owner, okay? Who's a good random owner for you? Okay, the new guy who bought the Jazz, right? Or how much do you talk about the Minnesota, you know, owner, Glenn Taylor? Okay, like, you know, they're just not – the only owner I think people talk about a lot is Jim Dolan, okay? Like, he's the only owner who is sort of personified, right? But – yeah, it's that, and I think teams like them, they don't want to. Nobody wants to trade for Blake Griffin right now. He makes too much money, so they're going to have to do a. I think it's going to be a buyout. Is it going to be this year or next? But if there's any chance that there's a trade to be done, he can't get hurt, and his knees are such that they can get hurt at any minute. You know, so I think they'll probably end up doing a buyout with him, and then he'll sign a contract with a contender, and I think he'll play a meaningful role on a contending team, either this year or next. You know, meaningful role being 15, 20 minutes, not anything more than that. But Drummond, he actually has trade value. He's owed a lot of money, but they can't take a chance on him getting hurt. You know, so I get why they do it. It sucks. It's the same thing that I always wondered about in New Orleans with Anthony Davis when he asked for a trade. Like, you know, the best thing would have been for them to just sit him the rest of the year. But then we run into this tanking thing, and we run into this, like, have you violated the terms of your contract? And I think it comes down to the central point. When a player violates, you know, the contract, right? Asking for a trade is by its very nature like a breach of contract, right? Because you've agreed to a contract to play there. You've agreed to a certain number of years. You can request a trade, but you can't demand a trade. Does that make sense? Like, you're not supposed to publicly acknowledge it. That's why he got fined. I think his agent got fined because he went public with it. That's why. Now, you can privately do it, but if James Harden was asked about that, he could not actually confirm it unless he wanted to take that fine. And so, therefore, the league, the Rockets, and Harden are left in a situation where it's like, okay, well, if we're going to abide by your request, then how are we going to do this in the right way? Is it going to become public? Are you going to own it? Are we going to own it? Are we going to – how long is this going to take? That's why that got ugly. I mean, he had a lot of years left on his deal, and I he's theoretically in breach because you're requesting a trade. But requesting is different than demanding. Now, the team signs you to a contract, and I think this is what anybody who's had a contract in media or whatever job you have, you sign a contract. If your employer no longer wants you, but you still have a contract, they have to pay you what's on your deal, unless you did something that invalidated your contract, right? But they can bench you and sit you out. They can bench you for as long as the length of your contract and have a non-compete. It sucks. That sucks. It's kind of the nature of contracts, though.
Is it the nature of contracts, though? I mean, because it seems like management gets to do this and players don't. And isn't that really the crux of the argument?
Yeah.
Is that it's the same thing, only one side gets to do it and be okay and viewed that way, and the other side doesn't, because that they start bringing in terms like ungrateful and, you know, things like that. Isn't that really what the dynamic is here?
That is the dynamic. And I think what Draymond's saying, I mean, look, there is the nature of contracts is that the employer holds it once. The employer has the leverage, okay, but I'll say this. An agent I talked to once told me, and this is a media agent, not an NBA agent, okay, but the deal's over when the talent says it's over, okay? When the talent theoretically should eclipse the entity they work for. If they're a big enough star and you're making that much money, you have a lot of power, you have a lot of influence. But if you think it's over, if you think, hey, this isn't working out for either of us anymore, a lot of times, and this is the one guy I can name three or four guys who've done this pretty successfully, where they wanted out, they worked with the team to make it happen, and they were traded before anybody ever knew they wanted out. Okay, Paul George in Oklahoma City, okay, and Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and Chris Paul in New Orleans. Those are the three guys that I can point to who somehow requested a trade, got a trade. Nobody ever had to have a conversation about it. And I'll say this for the Thunder, when they traded those two guys, they went out of their way to honor them and not smear them and smear their reputations. And I think that is what Draymond is talking about, right? That's what he's saying is, why is it that, you know, teams, fans, media, whoever it is, whenever the player says it's over, we all pile on and for whatever reason take, you know, the organization side against the player. And when the organization does it to the player, for some reason we don't say a word. He's right.
Right. This sounds like a conversation about contracts. It's really about perception and portrayal in the media. It truly is. Ramona, you are one of the best. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We always appreciate your time.
Sorry, I was a little late. I was going long on an interview there, and I was trying to get off the phone but not be rude, and you know how that goes, right?
Oh, you got carte blanche with us. You do whatever you want whenever you can. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Boyd.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.